Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. We're continuing our study here in the the Acts of the Apostle. And we left off in chapter 5 and verse 31. Peter's continuing to talk, so I'll back up a little bit. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that's what I was talking about, obeying God rather than men in all things. It's more important. The law of God is higher than the law of man. If you place the law of man higher than the law of God, then man is your God, and the government is your God. And that is idolatry. For instance, just to draw a for instance, there are those who hate the law of God. The law of God says, well, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, a man shall not lie with a man as with a woman. See, the law of God says things like that. So they say, well, we don't like the law of God, so we want our God to make different laws. The law of God says that a man can't marry a man, because marriage is between a man and a woman only. So they go to their God and they say, well, we don't like the law of God. We want to commit adultery. We want men to be able to marry men. Oh, great God of government, we worship you, and you alone do we worship. Please make a law for us. And of course, these idiots up there in the legislature are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by all the idiots that vote for them. They go, oh, yes, yes, we are gods, aren't we? Yeah, whatever. If we make a law, it's good. Yeah, who cares what God's law says? So they pass their laws. And damnation for all of them. That's it. They'll all burn in hell together if they don't repent. It won't be pleasant. And gosh, I wonder if I just committed hate speech there. Okay, that's a new law they passed here just recently. I guess they're going to have fun with that one, aren't they? Uh-oh. They're going to pay someone? Well, they got lots of money, don't they? They're just printing trillions of dollars. So I wonder if they're going to pay someone to sit down and to go through all my archives, which will remain posted on the internet, and listen for hate speech. Yes. Well, I just pray that if they do have someone doing that, that they'll listen to, and they'll get converted. Yes. That would be nice. So it continues here. He says that we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Want the Holy Ghost? He has given to them that obey him, the Holy Ghost. So obey him and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And there he clarifies my point that those who worshipped idolatry, all those idolaters would not believe, even if they saw miracles. They could not receive the Holy Ghost. Ananias and Sapphira could not receive the Holy Ghost. They were idolaters. They thought they were going to lie to the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost does not lie to himself, but the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. The him, of course, is Yahuwah, the God of Israel, the creator of all things. You obey him, you receive his Holy Ghost. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Yes, up to their old tricks. Well, we can't gainsay them. We can't take them in public. We can't get the people to stop following them. Let's kill them. Let's murder them. Let's break God's law and murder them without a cause. So they took counsel to slay them. Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he says to them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men." Here's a man who's got his head screwed on straight. He hears them talking about murdering these men. He's saying, "Take heed to yourselves. Give these men a little time." And he says, "For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody." That must have been a false prophet of the day. "To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him." You know, the days of the taxing, that must have been about the time that Yeshua was born. So here we got a man who was around for a while and reciting some things, you know, where they had to travel to their home to be taxed, the days of the taxing, "and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obey him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." Here's a wise man standing up in the council. That's like I said, how did Luke find out what they were saying in the council? Well, he would have found out from a man like this man who's speaking, perhaps this very man. Perhaps Luke went and found him, said, "Hey, what went on in there?" Knowing him, it says he had a reputation, which I'm going to take to mean that he had a reputation as an honest and a righteous man. And for him to say something like this, here's a man who sees the truth. He's lived a long life and he's observed and he sees the truth of things. He says, "Hey, if this is not of God, it's going to come to nothing. Don't worry about it. Just let it be. But if it is of God," listen to us, he has the fear of God. He says, "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Yeah, we'll just threaten them and beat, you know, threatening didn't work, so we're going to beat them this time. And so they beat them and let them go. And I'm sure it wasn't this man who talked some sense into him that had part in the beating. And of course, some men just, you know, like I said, they practice unrighteousness, they can't see the truth. Miracles, one rising from the dead can't persuade them. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So basically, we have a thing going on here where they have to minister these funds now. And that's kind of a burden if you're not into money. So you see this burden is built up where the ministration, the widows need to be taken care of, because if you're selling your property, because of the times that they're in, they're setting aside, you know, the laws of inheritance that had been set up for Israel, because the days for Israel are numbered. They know they're going to have to flee. So, but everyone still has to be ministered to somehow. So the substance that was in the property of the children of Israel by the law in their clans, where the widows and the orphans were to be taken care of by the family clan according to the law, now fell to the apostles where everything was distributed. Does that mean that this is how things should be today? No, I think that we should, if we are able to have property, take care of our family, take care of our widows, take care of our orphans and our family, I believe that the law of God still applies. If we're not able to do it, then it falls to the charity work of the church and to those who give in the church for the poor and for the ministration of those things. Charity should never go to the government, because the government forces charity, and then that's an abomination, because then the government becomes your God and you have the idolatry that follows, the idolatry that is all around us today. And then, of course, when that idolatry takes hold, then you have all of the turning over to a reprobate mind that comes with that idolatry. And then you have all of the abominations of homosexuality and all sorts of godlessness and wickedness and giving and taking and marriage and adultery. And it just goes on. And then it perpetuates itself. But no, we see here that they were to be administered if you have a widow indeed. So let's continue and see how they handle this situation here. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, multitude of disciples. And so we have hundreds, perhaps thousands of people here, from the witness that we have here. They called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they were the main preachers, the 12. And they said, we should not leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out for among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and in the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles when they had prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a company of the priests were obedient. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the libertines. It says here, Roman freedman, libertine, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So the countenance of Stephen is changing, so that he is becoming bright, perhaps as Moses appeared in the transfiguration, or Abraham, as Abraham appeared when he came down off of the mountain, being in the presence of the Heavenly Father. They had to put a veil on him because the people were afraid, because he shone with the light of God. And here you notice that they bring false witnesses. And what do the false witnesses say? This man ceaseth not to speak against the holy place and the law, and to change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And see, these are false accusations. And I was watching I have some of these movies over here, produced their DVDs, on some of the lives of, some of the prophets and the great people of Israel. And then there's one on the Apostle Paul. And then there's one called Jesus of Nazareth. And you can tell these are all done by corporate Christian, and because of the leaning. And in the one of these movies, I don't recall which one, the accusation comes that they're teaching men that it's okay to eat pork. Something just as blatant as that. And I just thought, they never taught that. And so they're bringing a further false accusation. And then they have the one being accused defending it, as if they were teaching against the law of Moses, which they were not, because here plainly the scripture says that these were false accusations. They weren't teaching in Jerusalem against the law of Moses. They were teaching according to the law, and according to the law, the Messiah who would pay the price for their sins. It was all according to the law. So these false accusers say that this Jesus in Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change. So they're just kind of mouthing some of the same old accusations too. Just nonsense, really. Because what are false accusations but nonsense, and dangerous nonsense? And you can see that they care little about breaking God's law themselves, which they accuse these men of teaching contrary to, because they're bearing false witness against their neighbor. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw that his face as it had been as the face of an angel. So Stephen's countenance changed. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto the land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over to Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought with for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young, to the end that they might not live, in which time Moses was born. And he was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one another? And he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of Yahuwah in the flame of the fire in a bush. And we'll continue in Stephen's wonderful narration of biblical history to these Jews. We'll be back in a few minutes.